Appreciate that reading. Our first reading we hear from Isaiah 40, that's the second half of that book, about the cosmic greatness of God. Have you not heard? Have you not known? And it sounds like God is so big and possibly so distant, yet somehow so involved in the human story that it's just almost mind-blowing. And then we hear in Mark's gospel the very humanness and vulnerability, I think, of Jesus himself as he goes and ministers throughout Galilee. That it really goes from this big picture of God as this cosmic creator to something a little more intimate, a little more down to earth, a little more human, that we can all connect with, I think. So I appreciate that, bringing that word to us this morning. So there's a lot going on in our gospel lesson today, in all of our scripture, but I want to laser focus in on Mark. I don't know about y'all, but I am so tired these days. So dog tired, and part of it is we have a new baby at home. He's about 6 weeks, I think this is week seven, with him at home with us. But I'm not the one that's doing the heavy lifting in the family. My wife is. She brought him into the world. She's the one that's waking up and feeding him. I'm just changing diapers and all that good stuff like that. But I think everybody in my house is tired right now, beat down. I'm tired. Sonia's tired. Our daughter's tired. The animals are tired. Our dog looks a lot grayer than he ever has looked, I think. So everybody is wiped out. And they have been, I think, ever since Elliot was born. We've all been kind of wiped out. So here I am. And I haven't felt this kind of worn out since our daughter was born, like 4 years ago. So it all kind of came back to me. I think that's why we repress these memories, and so we have more kids. I've been so wiped out that I've been finding myself like falling asleep, sitting up, watching TV, or playing on the Xbox or something like that at night. I'll just wake up. It'll be really jarring. And it kind of seems like, in some ways, it's hard to enjoy some of the simple stuff when you are so tired, drained. Have you ever felt like that? Like you've had a lot on your shoulders? Or like one of the kids said so beautifully, like it's hard to breathe? It's hard to breathe? Well, maybe you feel like that right now. You're tired. Weary. Or maybe you have felt like that at some point in your life, and I think we can all relate to that. Because if you aren't right now, and you haven't been, you probably will be at some point. And I think our scripture today, Jesus tells us something about being tired, being weary. And I think it's a message that all of us can hear, and I want to share a brief word about it. And it's especially important because of the time of the year we find ourselves in right now. As a church, we're facing into the season of Lent. It might feel like Christmas has just come and gone, and now we find ourselves kind of spinning our wheels. We went through Epiphany together that season. Well, now we're facing into Lent, and things are about to get darker before they get light. For Jesus, in the stories that we'll hear about him, he'll be ministering, but he's going to make a lot of people mad in the process. He'll be traveling, but it's a hard road to travel. And so he becomes drained. And he himself even needs to be recharged for that journey to the cross and beyond. So I want to share about that with y'all to help get us geared up and ramped up for Lent. Because I know that I need some of that right now. Yeah? So let's talk. Gospel lesson this morning from Mark. It opens up on this charming note, a charming note. And I kind of smile about it as a pastor and somebody that's involved in a lot of stuff here. It says, now as soon as they left the synagogue, as soon as the disciples and Jesus left the synagogue, as soon as they left church, that's when stuff got real. They all came to church and they did church, but then stuff got real. Church was over. It was probably pushing noon his time. The fellowship hall was cleaned up. All the donuts were gone. All that good stuff was wrapped up. The doors were locked. And now the real work was about to begin. Jesus, along with some of the other disciples, they went to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And this was the house of Simon's mother-in-law. So they left church, where they churched it up in the morning. And I know some of you that are introverts. When you leave this place, don't bother me. You need to recharge at home when you're being an extrovert and you're on at church. Well, Jesus just left church, and then he's on. He's at a family gathering after that. And not just any family gathering. It's a family gathering of one of his friends, and his mother-in-law is sick. She's sick. We hear, now Simon's mother-in-law had a fever, so they call Jesus over. And somehow, some way, Jesus cools her down. I'm imagining him kind of doing that mom touch, you know, the mom fever touch, checking, seeing if the fever's still there, if it really is there, it's there. Somehow, this fever leaves Simon's mother-in-law. We don't hear what her name is, but we hear that the fever goes away somehow in some way, and she feels good enough to make dinner or whatever, to serve them and the friends. And we hope that she feels well enough to do this, but the scripture basically just tells us that she goes and she does it. Now, my mother-in-law, I wouldn't ask when she's sick or just got better to cook a meal or do whatever. We'd want to let her rest. But Mama Stark, when I was little, I remember as a kid, we would all come home on the bus, and if Mom was home sick from work, she'd get up and like cook dinner for us. It's the awesome power of being a mom or a parent or a grandparent right there. You can run on fumes and you still are asked to do stuff. But we hear that Simon's mother-in-law did serve them. She did serve them. And it was sometime after dinner that the work kept coming. The work kept coming. It wasn't a convenient time, but rather in the evening, at sundown, the disciples kept bringing people to Jesus. They kept bringing people to him to cure the sick, the injured, people with many different diseases, the demon-possessed. We hear, quote, and the whole city was gathered around the door. Man, that is quite the day. You start off at church in the morning. You go to Simon's mother-in-law's house. You do some work there. Then you have a meal together. And then the work keeps on going. I think for those of you who have traveled for the holidays, could you imagine hitting the ground running like that instead of coming home and having the opportunity to recharge? But it says that Jesus kept on going like the Energizer Bunny. He was in high demand. It was bedtime. Folks were lining up outside the door of Simon's mother-in-law's house to get healed. And it says, he cured many who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons. Finally, when the work was done, it was morning. It was morning. What a night. What a night. And what a day. Starts off at church. Goes to the family gathering, then ends up with a whole city of people to cure and take care of and minister to. All sorts of people that need him. And then finally, it's over. Sounds exhausting, right? I think any of us that just hear that are probably exhausted thinking about what kind of day that would be. I remember when I got back from basic training with the Air Force, 2012, must have been August. I think I had been gone since like May of that year. So it was a long summer, before our daughter was born. I felt like I had gone through a gauntlet of courses and classes and death by PowerPoint and physical training, one after another after another, and I traveled from base to base to base all over the U.S. I was at 8 different bases within like a 3-month span. It was crazy. It was rough. And I remember getting home at last, and I was laying in bed, and I was drinking a big glass of water. And Sonia and I think we're watching like Sleepless in Seattle or something like that. And I recall we were talking, and the next minute I must have fallen asleep. And I woke up to her saying, "What the heck? You know, what is wrong with you?" I fell asleep and spilled the water all over the place. It was in my hand. I was so tired. Pretty sure she thought I like wet the bed or something like that. But I was so tired that I fell asleep, sitting upright, watching a movie. Fell asleep, drinking something, taking care of my body. Fell asleep, exhausted. And it interrupted the life of my family. Jesus and his crew left the synagogue, went to a mother-in-law's house, cured her, spent some time there, then cured and healed and exercised and took care of the sick, the diseased, the demon-possessed countryside, the whole city, and they came one after another to the door. And what does Jesus do in response to this? In the morning, while it was very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Jesus got up and left. Jesus went away. Jesus spent time by himself. Jesus did what he needed to do to recharge his battery, so to speak. He took a moment of holy rest. We hear God rested on the seventh day. Jesus rested too. In the midst of all the work, he took a pause just for him. Have you ever felt like you needed to do that? I'm sure. I see some heads nodding. I do. I'm tired. I wanted to come here this morning in my PJs, but nah, I did not do that. Where might, or what might, holy rest look like for you? What might it look like? What might holy rest look like for you sitting in the pews right now? Might it mean just getting away, going and buying groceries at Woodman's by yourself while your husband watches the kids or while your wife watches the kids? Might it mean going to Starbucks for a coffee just for you? Not having to run some errand on the way? Might it mean hitting up Panera with your favorite book? Or just popping in your headphones? Listening to some music? Just for you? Might it mean a trip up to the Northwoods? Or going out on the ice to fish? Where it's just you with nature and God? Might it be a long walk with the dog? Might it be a hunting trip? Might it be an opportunity for you to get away in your own way? Jesus needed rest, and I think many of you do right now. You've taken care of sick relatives, of family members. On top of your busy days of work and making everything else hold together, you've taken on extra responsibilities at work. This is a time of year when folks are getting slammed in this first quarter. If you are somebody that works for a business, or you're just anybody that's working on your taxes right now, you are probably feeling like you got a lot on your shoulders. Maybe you had a busy holiday season and things never slowed down and that Christmas tree is not getting any fresher as it sits in your family room, losing needles everywhere. Maybe you have so much on your plate that it feels like you've never and you're never going to get through it all or handle it all. But the thing is, Jesus had those days. Jesus had those months. He had those years. And he recognized, I'd say, as we hear in our scripture from Mark today, that if he gives away all that he has, where he is running on fumes and there's nothing left, never gives himself a moment to breathe, recharge, or be present, then he's not going to have anything left of himself to give. Just be a burned out husk. And I think he realized that there will always be more work to be done. So it's okay to take a breather. It's okay to call a pause. Take care of yourself. In a couple weeks, we begin the journey of Lent, where Jesus marches each week a little closer to that Last Supper with his friends that we're going to commemorate today, and to the cross. This is not a journey for someone who's pooped out before it begins. This is a journey for someone who's ready to run the marathon. And so Jesus takes a moment of holy rest in our story today to go off to that deserted place and pray and meditate and be with God. Scripture says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Think about that. Our scripture concludes today, our story ends by saying that Simon and his companions, they hunted. That's the word that's used. They hunted for Jesus. They didn't just look for him. They didn't just send him a text, call him up. They hunted for the guy. And when they found him, they didn't just say, "Hey, we were looking for you." They said, "Everyone is looking for you. Everybody is looking for you. Not just one of us. Everyone is looking for you. Not everybody. Not one family, but everybody. High demand." Some of us are in high demand too. I think all of us are. So come to me, all of you who are stretched thinly and running on fumes right now. Jesus would respond, and he responds in our story to when he is sought out, when he is hunted. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't let out some exasperated sigh, "Oh, leave me alone," because he can't have some more time to himself. How does he respond? He says, "Let's go on to the neighboring town so I can proclaim the message, because that's what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the good news in synagogues, casting out demons, all that stuff. He did not go out into Galilee to the synagogues and whatnot, fighting tooth and nail, mad or upset, because there was still work to do. But he went refreshed with holy rest, a Sabbath that recharged him for the journey to come. So, it is my prayer for each of us, in our own way, that we can be gentle on ourselves. That we can get sleep, yes, but we can get concentrated rest, holy rest. Not just to prepare us for Lent to come, but to take care of ourselves so we can be a vessel for others. Because if Jesus did it, then perhaps it gives us permission to do that. To take that long car ride, go to that matinee movie by yourself, take a long shower, or play Xbox, where you could just be you for a little while. I hope that you all get some holy rest today, and I hope I get some too. Amen? Amen.